good he has done. The devil does not sleep, nor is the flesh yet dead. Therefore, you must never cease your preparation for battle, because on the right and on the left are enemies who never rest. The 10th chapter, Appreciating God's Grace. Why do you look for rest when you were born to work? Resign yourself to patience rather than to comfort, to carrying your cross rather than to enjoyment. What man in the world, if he could always have them, would not readily accept consolation and spiritual joy, benefits which excel all earthly delights and pleasures of the body? The latter, indeed, are either vain or base, while spiritual joys born of virtue and infused by God into pure minds are alone truly pleasant and noble. Now, since the moment of temptation is always nigh, since false freedom of mind and overconfidence in self are serious obstacles to these visitations from heaven, a man can never enjoy them just as he wishes. God does well in giving the grace of consolation, but man does evil in not returning everything gratefully to God. Thus, the gifts of grace cannot flow in us when we are ungrateful to the giver, when we do not return them to the fountainhead. Grace is always given to him who is duly grateful, and what is wont to be given the humble will be taken away from the proud. I do not desire consolation that robs me of contrition, nor do I care for contemplation that leads to pride. For not all that is high is holy, nor is all that is sweet good, nor every desire pure, nor all that is dear to us pleasing to God. I accept willingly the grace whereby I become more humble and contrite, more willing to renounce self. The man who has been taught by the gift of grace and who learns by the lash of its withdrawal will never dare to attribute any good to himself, but will rather admit his poverty and emptiness. Give to God what is God's and ascribe to yourself what is yours. Give him thanks, then, for his grace, but place upon yourself alone the blame and the punishment your fault deserves. Always take the lowest place, and the highest will be given you, for the highest cannot exist apart from the lowest. The saints who are greatest before God are those who consider themselves the least, and the more humble they are within themselves, so much the more glorious they are. Since they do not desire vain glory, they are full of truth and heavenly glory. Being established and strengthened in God, they can by no means be proud. They attribute to God whatever good they have received. They seek no glory from one another, but only that which comes from God alone. They desire above all things that he be praised in themselves and in all his saints. This is their constant purpose. Be grateful, therefore, for the least gift, and you will be worthy to receive a greater. Consider the least gift as the greatest, the most contemptible as something special. And if you but look to the dignity of the giver, no gift will appear too small or worthless. Even though he give punishments and scourges, accept them, because he acts for our welfare in whatever he allows to befall us. He who desires to keep the grace of God ought to be grateful when it is given, and patient when it is withdrawn. Let him pray that it return. Let him be cautious and humble, lest he lose it. The 11th chapter. Few love the cross of Christ. Jesus says always, many who love his heavenly kingdom, but few who bear his cross. He has many who desire consolation, but few who care for trial. He finds many to share his table, but few to take part in his fasting. All desire to be happy with him. Few wish to suffer anything for him. Many follow him to the breaking of bread, but few to the drinking of the chalice of his passion. Many revere his miracles. Few approach the shame of the cross. Many love him as long as they encounter no hardship. Many praise and bless him as long as they receive some comfort from him. But if Jesus hides himself and leaves them for a while, they fall either into complaints or into deep dejection. Those, on the contrary, who love him for his own sake, and not for any comfort of their own, Bless him in all trial and anguish of heart, as well as in the bliss of consolation. Even if he should never give them consolation, yet they would continue to praise him, and wish always to give him thanks. What power there is in pure love for Jesus, love that is free from all self-interest and self-love. Do not those who always seek consolation deserve to be called mercenaries? Do not those who always think of their own profit and gain prove that they love themselves rather than Christ? Where can a man be found who desires to serve God for nothing? Rarely indeed is a man so spiritual as to strip himself of all things. And who shall find a man so truly poor in spirit as to be free from every creature? His value is like that of things brought from the most distant lands. If a man give all his wealth, it is nothing. If he do great penance, it is little. If he gain all knowledge, he is still far afield. If he have great virtue and much ardent devotion, he still lacks a great deal, and especially the one thing that is most necessary to him. What is this one thing? That leaving all, he forsake himself, completely renounce himself, and give up all private affections. Then, when he has done all that he knows ought to be done, let him consider it as nothing. Let him make little of what may be considered great. Let him in all honesty call himself an unprofitable servant. For truth itself has said, when you shall have done all these things that are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. Footnote 17. Luke 17:10. Then he will be truly poor and stripped in spirit, and with the prophet may say, I am alone and poor. Footnote 18. Psalm 24:16. No one, however, is more wealthy than such a man. No one is more powerful. No one freer than he who knows how to leave all things and think of himself as the least of all. The 12th chapter. The Royal Road of the Holy Cross. To many the saying, deny thyself, take up thy cross, and follow me, seems hard, but it will be much harder to hear that final word, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. After follow me, footnote 19, Matthew 16:24. After everlasting fire, footnote 20, Matthew 25:41. Those who hear the word of the cross and follow it willingly now need not fear that they will hear of eternal damnation on the day of judgment. This sign of the cross will be in the heavens when the Lord comes to judge. Then all the servants of the cross, who during life made themselves one with the crucified, will draw near with great trust to Christ the judge. Why then do you fear to take up the cross, when through it you can win a kingdom? In the cross is salvation, in the cross is life, in the cross is protection from enemies. In the cross is infusion of heavenly sweetness, in the cross is strength of mind, in the cross is joy of spirit, in the cross is highest virtue, in the cross is perfect holiness. There is no salvation of soul, nor hope of everlasting life, but in the cross. Take up your cross, therefore, and follow Jesus, and you shall enter eternal life. He himself opened the way before you in carrying his cross, and upon it he died for you, that you, too, might take up your cross and long to die upon it. If you die with him, you shall also live with him, and if you share his suffering, you shall also share his glory. Behold, in the cross is everything, and upon your dying on the cross, everything depends. There is no other way to life and to true inward peace than the way of the Holy Cross and daily mortification. Go where you will, seek what you will not find a higher way, nor a less exalted but safer way than the way of the Holy Cross. Arrange and order everything to suit your will and judgment. And still you will find that some suffering must always be borne, willingly or unwillingly, and thus you will always find the cross. Either you will experience bodily pain or you will undergo tribulation of spirit in your soul. At times you will be forsaken by God. at times troubled by those about you. And what is worse, you will often grow weary of yourself. You cannot escape. You cannot be relieved by any remedy or comfort, but must bear with it as long as God wills. For he wishes you to learn to bear trial without consolation, to submit yourself wholly to him, that you may become more humble through suffering. No one understands the passion of Christ so thoroughly or heartily as the man whose lot it is to suffer the like himself. The cross, therefore, is always ready. It awaits you everywhere. No matter where you may go, you cannot escape it. For wherever you go, you take yourself with you, and shall always find yourself. Turn where you will, above, below, without, or within, you will find a cross in everything, and everywhere you must have patience, if you would have peace within and merit an eternal crown. If you carry the cross willingly, it will carry and lead you to the desired goal, where indeed there shall be no more suffering, but here there shall be. If you carry it unwillingly, you create a burden for yourself and increase the load, though still you have to bear it. If you cast away one cross, you will find another, and perhaps a heavier one. Do you expect to escape what no mortal man can ever avoid? Which of the saints was without a cross or trial on this earth? Not even Jesus Christ our Lord, whose every hour on earth knew the pain of his passion. It behooveth Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead, and so enter into his glory. Footnote 21. Luke 24:46-26. How is it that you look for another way than this, the royal way of the Holy Cross? The whole life of Christ was a cross and a martyrdom. And do you seek rest and enjoyment for yourself? You deceive yourself. You are mistaken if you seek anything but to suffer, for this mortal life is full of miseries and marked with crosses on all sides. Indeed, the most spiritual progress a person makes, so much heavier will he frequently find the cross. Because as his love increases, the pain of his exile also increases. Yet such a man, though afflicted in many ways, is not without hope of consolation, because he knows that great reward is coming to him for bearing his cross. And when he carries it willingly, every pang of tribulation is changed into hope of solace from God. Besides, the more the flesh is distressed by affliction, so much the more is the spirit strengthened by inward grace. Not infrequently, a man is so strengthened by his love of trials and hardship and his desire to conform to the cross of Christ that he does not wish to be without sorrow or pain, since he believes he will be the more acceptable to God if he is able to endure more and more grievous things for his sake. It is the grace of Christ and not the virtue of man which can and does bring it about that through fervor of spirit, frail flesh learns to love and to gain what it naturally hates and shuns. To carry the cross, to love the cross, to chastise the body and bring it to subjection, to flee honors, to endure contempt gladly, to despise self and wish to be despised, to suffer any adversity and loss, to desire no prosperous days on earth, this is not man's way. If you rely upon yourself, you can do none of these things. But if you trust in the Lord, strength will be given you from heaven, and the world and the flesh will be made subject to your word. You will not even fear your enemy, the devil, if you are armed with faith and signed with the cross of Christ. Set yourself, then, like a good and faithful servant of Christ, to bear bravely the cross of your Lord, who out of love was crucified for you. Be ready to suffer many adversities and many kinds of trouble in this miserable life, for troublesome and miserable life will always be, no matter where you are. And so you will find it wherever you may hide. Thus it must be, and there is no way to evade the trials and sorrows of life, but to bear them. Drink the chalice of the Lord with affection, if you wish to be his friend and to have part with him. Leave consolation to God, let him do as most pleases him. On your part, be ready to bear sufferings and consider them the greatest consolation, for even though you alone were to undergo them all, The sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come. When you shall have come to the point where suffering is sweet and acceptable for the sake of Christ, then consider yourself fortunate, for you have found paradise on earth. But as long as suffering irks you and you seek to escape, so long will you be unfortunate, and the tribulation you seek to evade will follow you everywhere. If you put your mind to the things you ought to consider, that is, to suffering and death, you would soon be in a better state and would find peace. Although you were taken to the third heaven with Paul, you were not thereby insured against suffering. Jesus said, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Footnote 22, Acts 9:16. To suffer, then, remains your lot if you mean to love Jesus and serve him forever. If you were but worthy to suffer something for the name of Jesus, what great glory would be in store for you? What great joy to all the saints of God! What great edification to those about you! For all men praise patience, though there are few who wish to practice it. With good reason, then, ought you to be willing to suffer a little for Christ, since many suffer much more for the world. Realize that you must lead a dying life. The more a man dies to himself, the more he begins to live unto God. No man is fit to enjoy heaven unless he has resigned himself to suffer hardship for Christ. Nothing is more acceptable to God, nothing more helpful for you on this earth than to suffer willingly for Christ. If you had to make a choice, you ought to wish rather to suffer for Christ than to enjoy many consolations. For thus you would be more like Christ and more like all the saints. Our merit and progress is not in many pleasures and comforts, but rather in enduring great afflictions and sufferings. If indeed there were anything better or more useful for man's salvation than suffering, Christ would have shown it by word and example. But he clearly exhorts the disciples who follow him and all who wish to follow him to carry the cross, saying, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Footnote 23, Luke 9:23. When therefore we have read and searched all that has been written, let this be the final conclusion, that through much suffering we must enter into the kingdom of God. Book 3, Internal Consolation, the first chapter. The inward conversation of Christ with the faithful soul. I will hear what the Lord God will speak in me. Footnote 24, Psalm 84:9. Blessed is the soul who hears the Lord speaking within her, who receives the word of consolation from his lips. Blessed are the ears that catch the accents of divine whispering and pay no heed to the murmurings of this world. Blessed indeed are the ears that listen, not to the voice which sounds without, but to the truth which teaches within. Blessed are the eyes which are closed to exterior things and are fixed upon those which are interior. Blessed are they who penetrate inwardly, who try daily to prepare themselves more and more to understand mysteries. Blessed are they who long to give their time to God and who cut themselves off from the hindrances of the world. Consider these things, my soul, and close the door of your senses, so that you can hear what the Lord your God speaks within you. I am your salvation, says your beloved. I am your peace and your life. Remain with me, and you will find peace. Dismiss all passing things and seek the eternal. What are all temporal things but snares? And what help will all creatures be able to give you if you are deserted by the Creator? Leave all these things, therefore, and make yourself pleasing and faithful to your Creator, so that you may attain to true happiness. The second chapter. Truth speaks inwardly without the sound of words.